best Titans reporter in town. So, of course, we had to get ourselves some of that. It's Buck Rising on 104.5 The Zone.
You ready, man?
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time for us to...
Yeah. Man, you sure can get some of that here on a Thirsty Thursday, 104.5 The Zone. Final hour is upon us. Lucas Panzeca has been an absolute pro babysitting me. I appreciate his efforts in doing so. I'm Buck Rising, by the way. This is my show. We have done an exceptional show. We had a fired the hell up Dawn Davenport last segment. You know she's going to be great on 3HL. By the way, you can get all this podcast. It is available to you in the 104.5 The Zone podcast feed. We talked earlier to Madison Blevins. We talked some balls. And now it is time to circle back to the NFL and free agency. RJ Ochoa of SB Nation will join us coming up next. He is going to dive into, you know, what's realistic? What's available to you actually as it relates to the edge rushing market? Because we talked about this even before you saw all of the names that you have been familiar with for several years in the NFL, guys who are on second contracts that have started to be released, and as everybody is documenting very, very well, next week in the NFL, pre-free agency, it's going to be a bloodbath. Like, it's going to be a bloodbath of veteran contracts just strewn out onto the market. But even before that, this free agency class of pass rushers has been really, really strong. And so RJ is going to help us break down exactly who is feasible, who is most likely to actually hit the market, because then you can really start to dive into, okay, how can the Tennessee Titans best spend their money on the position that is most important to them? RJ will join us later on in the show. If you have thoughts, questions, comments, concerns, 615-737-1045 is how you hit us. You can also weigh in on a variety of polls that we have pumped out at Buck Rising, R-E-I-S-I-N-G, at 104.5 The Zone, and at Lucas Panzeca is where you can follow the crew. The thing before we get to RJ and the pass rushers, though, specifically, is something we talked about a little bit at the top, Delanie Walker. Because it's not just that the Titans have a great many needs. A great many needs because they have 20 unrestricted free agents and they're going to have to figure out what the hell's going on. Tight end is going to be one of those needs. Now, Anthony Firkser, a restricted free agent. They have a little more control there. They can match whatever offer he gets and they can keep him around. It's a good situation for, and it helps you soften the blow, and he's really already done that with the unavailability of Adam Humphries, helps you kind of feel a little better with your, he's basically a part of the receiving corps, Firkser. But Jonnu Smith, Mykole Pruitt, Jeff Swaim, all unrestricted free agents, all a big part of this offense, run by a former tight ends coach, a former tight ends assistant coach, now the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And oh, by the way, You just turned around, hired another tight ends coach. Todd Downing will be the offensive coordinator. So we know that the tight ends in this offense are going to be key. So then you see the report from Adam Schefter yesterday that Delanie Walker, one of, if not the best free agent signing in the history of this franchise, or at least in the history of the Tennessee Titans. I don't go back far enough to understand or know much about the Houston Oilers. I would not claim to do so. But according to Adam Schefter, former Tennessee Titans tight end Delanie Walker intends to play again in 2021, a source told Adam Schefter. Walker was released by the Titans last March and did not sign with another team for the 2020 season. Now, Schefter put it out there like he took the pan. And listen, this may be a completely and totally valid reason. It also sounds like something an agent would say to kind of soften the idea that Delanie didn't get a job last year. Because I feel like if somebody had called Delanie Walker up and say, hey, you know, we'd really like you to come contribute, maybe not as a starting tight end, and maybe Delanie still thinks he's a starting tight end. I don't know. Draft an effing tight end, right? But the idea that he would take a year off because of the pandemic is not out of this realm. Like, Delanie Walker has got a variety of interests. He is a fascinating character. I very much miss talking to somebody as just kind of bluntly honest as Delanie was with us as a media corps. It's something that, I don't know what it would have been like on Zooms, but We missed that and you guys, as a result, missed that because we weren't able to get as much transparency from the players who were left after you saw a bunch of guys like Delanie Walker, Wesley Woodyard, Logan Ryan, Jurrell Casey, guys who have been, you know, who are proven veterans in this league, who had contributed very, very much to the success of the Tennessee Titans, and who had been the face of the leadership circle, the circle of trust. But so now Delaney wants back in. At 36 years old, like maybe the full year off with an ankle, with a snapped ankle, and the kind of difficulties that he had coming back after that, maybe it's enough time for him to recover. And listen, I don't doubt any of these guys and their ability, maybe not even their ability, because the ability diminishes. The mental acuity that professional athletes have to be able to perform at that high of a level for as long as Delaney Walker did, because he played for a long time in this league, and as somebody is floating to Adam Schefter from, at least, you know, you assume Delaney Walker's camp, he wants to get back in the game. So I'm not going to doubt that Delaney Walker thinks that he can do this, but not for the Tennessee Titans. Please, not for the Tennessee Titans. Don't do the nostalgia thing. Don't do the nostalgia thing. He means so much to the success of what this team was as it started to scale up into what is a legitimate contender right now. But please don't do this again. It's just not something that's feasible. I know people love Delaney Walker here in Nashville. I know people love Jurrell Casey here in Nashville. He's available too. Still don't do that. You sold as close to high on these guys as you possibly could. Delaney was still giving you a little bit of something, but the Titans were struggling at the beginning of that season, and Marcus Mariota, quarterback, was a big part of that. But Delaney's body just wasn't right. And so when you talk about a potential reunion, because many of you have flooded in on Twitter, if you want to weigh in on this, 615-737-1045, that's the number that you call. But for all the reasons to address the tight end position, Jonnu Smith should take top priority. I see a lot of people talking about David Njoku. In fact, Rhett Bryan, who does great work for Titans Radio around here, has made it very clear his position on David Njoku, because Njoku wants out of Cleveland. They signed Austin Hooper, and he's just not getting the targets. But I would still take Jonnu Smith over that guy. I would take Jonnu Smith over Kyle Rudolph after a decade in the league. I think that Jonnu in this offense is critical. I think that Jonnu with Firkser makes it even more dangerous. Now, you have to figure out what you're going to do if your offensive line falls apart again, because that was something that I think hurt Jonnu's market value. You saw his contributions offensive. I mean, I won't say contributions offensively, because he was still a big part of helping Derrick Henry rush for 2,000 yards. Like, let's not take away from that, but you stopped noticing Jonnu from a targets, a receptions, a touchdowns standpoint, because he was being asked to do more to protect the quarterback and to block for the running back. Also very critical in this offense. Also something that Jonnu has developed a great ability to do. Hell, I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, and maybe somebody can, if I am mistaken on this, Lucas, perhaps somebody can remind me, but I'm pretty sure Jonnu Smith tore his ACL springing Derrick Henry on a 99-yard touchdown run against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I believe I have that right. I think that is indeed the case.
That sounds right to me, too.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll do our research on the back end. But I think that's right. So you know he's willing. You know he fits. You know that Todd Downing knows this player, and you know that Todd Downing knows how to get the most out of him, by the way. Jonnu started off at a record pace when this Tennessee Titans offense was closer to whole. Then you lose Taylor Lewan. You lose Ty Sambrello, and you're working with David Questenberry, who held up well, but they needed help. And the tight ends are where they got that help. There are going to be plenty of options. Please don't get locked up on Delaney Walker. It's just not something that's feasible.
But is there going to be a contingent of Titans fans that are clamoring for that to happen?
Man, maybe it's just a loud minority for me on Twitter, but that's what I keep saying. But like, this is what we do. This is what we do as sports fans. I'm guilty of it too. I'm not a Titans fan. I'm a Titans reporter. But we all get caught up in this. The season of the transaction is damn near pornography for sports fans.
I mean, nostalgia aside, there is no logical argument for signing Delaney Walker.
Not when you look at what else is out there. Like, because, you know, I had somebody come back at me last night on the A to Z Sports Primetime Show. And by the way, we will do that tonight at 8 p.m. Central Time. You can follow that at A to Z Sports, and we can get involved there, and you can, you know, tell me what you think to my face rather than just me being the voice in your head. But what I would say to you is that Antonio Gates is what was thrown back in my face last night on the primetime show. And Antonio Gates was productive, and he retired at 38. Now, he wasn't a starting tight end. He needed WD-40 to be able to get up and down the field. But Philip Rivers, my beloved Philip Rivers, was still targeting Antonio Gates at 38 years old. So it's not, you know, there is some kind of precedent. And Delanie Walker has been exceptional in his career. But the last time that you saw Delanie Walker was not 7 games in 2019, 21 receptions, 215 yards, and 2 touchdowns, as Lucas mentioned in his update at the top of the hour. I mean, if that excites you, go for it, I guess. But he's not helping Derrick Henry rush for 2,000 yards, and he's not helping your tight end production scale up. We have RJ Ochoa coming up next from SB Nation. He is going to tell us who on the free agent pass rushing market could help the Tennessee Titans scale their defense up. We will do that. On the other side, I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. On a thirsty Thursday, we hope you're feeling right, living well here in Nashville. Buck Rising, Lucas Panzeca here with you, wrapping things up for the second show of the week. We appreciate the fine folks who have stopped by to make sure that this show flows smoothly, cleanly. We've had a lot of good guests, and we invite a new friend into the proceedings. RJ Ochoa of SB Nation, blogging with the boys, the SB Nation football show. This man and his colleagues do exceptional work for the SB Nation network. It's large, it's expansive, it's all-encompassing. They got about just about everything you need to know from an NFL perspective, and they do a whole bunch of other stuff as well. RJ, we appreciate you stopping by.
Appreciate it, Buck. I want to extend my congratulations to you on everything that's going on here. Really pumped about this. To check in from my neck of the woods. Certainly excited about what you have going on. Appreciate you having me on here. Not the inaugural flight, but just about. I'm going to qualify it as that, if that's all right with you. But yeah, pumped, man. Nashville's a good spot, and I'm glad you're there.
Man, I appreciate you saying that. That's kind of you. We've had a good experience so far. Now, one of the people who is largely responsible for me having any kind of platform is your boy Michael Kiss. So before, RJ's here to talk about pass rushers. RJ's here to talk about what's going to fit with the Titans. RJ's here to tell you who is most likely to be available for you to actually sign, because, of course, they're going to pursue that. But first, we must get self-involved and make fun of our good friend Michael Kiss, who has been a regular appearer on this show and somebody who I hit up, by the way. This is my first week with the new radio show. And I said, buddy, why don't you come by? Why don't you stop by? Why don't you hang out? You know, we can't cuss like we do on the podcast, but you know, we have a good back and forth. We have a good relationship. We've been doing this for about 4 or 5 years, me and Kiss. And this man blows me off. And not only does he blow me off, he says, well, I'll get one of my other friends to do it, one of my other guys to do it. I'll pawn Buck off on another one of our fine SB Nation purveyors of great NFL content. And so he connects with me with RJ. So RJ is largely stuck with me because Michael Kiss, bald and beautiful though he may be, thinks he's got better things to do.
You know, we have an affectionate nickname for Kiss. I co-host a show with him on Mondays on our feed. It's brilliantly titled Monday Football Monday. Yep. And, that is bordered by two M's, so is our nickname for him, because Kiss is all over the place. He's, you know, reportedly a Philadelphia Eagles fan, but he's always chirping about the Titans. Always. I mean, you know, he has this insane passion for the Titans. He tells us all about this little contest he won. I think he got a ribbon or something for it once upon a time. So we call him Music City Mike. And so, you know, I was kind of shocked. Believe me, I'm happy to be here and very, grateful for the honor and whatnot. But I was kind of shocked because he hypes you guys up. I thought you guys vacationed together. I thought you were, you know, the godfather to his children, you know, something like that. I mean, the way he talks about you guys, I could never imagine him just blowing you off like this. But lo and behold, that's the Michael Kiss that we both know.
This will be addressed on a platform that I can cuss at him on. So perhaps we will recruit Kiss for a 615 sessions. In the meantime, the Tennessee Titans need to recruit a pass rusher. They need to recruit a pass rusher that's going to provide instant impact, They're picking 22nd overall. They're not going to find that there. In fact, I would much rather them, frankly, I would much rather them trade out of 22 and go try and find a proven player, but that's a conversation for another day. RJ, there are going to be a great many. This is a really, really deep edge-rushing, pass-rushing class of free agents, and that's before what we've been just calling the NFL free agency bloodbath that's about to take place with all of these teams that are going to be culling their rosters of high-priced veterans as they try and get closer under the COVID cap. So the thing that that Titans fans want to know, RJ, and you can hit up RJ on the socials at RJ Ochoa, is where you find him. They want to know who's actually going to be available to them because they see Carl Lawson. They love Carl Lawson. They see Matt Judon. Nah, they're a little more mixed on Matt Judon. They see Bud Dupree. They're in love with Bud Dupree, no matter how recently he tore his ACL. And this is just, you know, a couple of the headliners. They're sick and tired of Jadeveon Clowney. That's one they can do without. But there are so many of these guys who are not ever going to make it to market. And so what RJ is going to help us understand is who are legitimate options, whose teams are going to allow them to hit the open market and be available for the Titans to sign.
Yeah, I think Tennessee's in a really interesting spot. And I think, for full disclosure, I was not the biggest believer in the franchise and in the organization entering this past season. I'm a Fighting Texas Aggie myself, so I'm a huge Ryan Tannehill fan.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'm glad to be here now that I've kind of come through this light. And so I'm anxious to see Tennessee get some help in this capacity. And I think it's important. I cover the Dallas Cowboys for SB Nation. You mentioned Blog of the Boys is my home site. And so that's my focus, obviously. And the Cowboys have been in a similar situation in that, you know, a lot of our fans, a lot of our readers are big on the big name. You know, I'm sure there is some Titans fan, you know, it bless their heart, that is hoping for Bud Dupree, is hoping for Shaq Barrett, right? And these things just aren't conceivable at this point. And so the names that I have brought for you today, I think are conceivable, are possible within the realms of financial restrictions to the point of your mention of the COVID cap means something the Titans have to operate under themselves. And so the first one I'll present is actually a current Cowboy. I think Aldon Smith, because I think the Titans are in this spot where they're close, right? And I think that when you're close, And you have a head coach that is certainly not questioned at all, I think you're in a position to maybe not – I don't think that Aldon Smith is a risk. I think the Cowboys already took that risk this past season. But I think Aldon Smith is a proven player. He's over the age of 30, obviously. He had 5 sacks last year. At one point in time, he looked like he was on pace for what could have been a normal comeback player of the year. Obviously, Alex Smith took that in spades. But I think Aldon is an example. And I think that that's the archetype that you're looking for here, is somebody who's kind of been there, done that, somebody who is not quite, you know, you're not looking in the $5 DVD bin. You're not in that particular realm here. But I think that that's the reality of what the Titans are going to be able to haul in from a practicality standpoint and from a legitimate production one.
Well, and so just to kind of, because that's a name that I don't think I've heard anywhere else. And it's, of course, you have more firsthand experience with somebody like Aldon Smith, given your connection with the Dallas Cowboys and covering them on a regular basis. But this is the thing that I've been kind of trying to prepare, for lack of a better term, Titans fans for, whether it be on the radio, on the podcast, on social media, or on the streaming show that I do, is that, you know, be willing to accept a guy like, you know, Aldon Smith is not, I have not previously mentioned Aldon Smith, but Aldon Smith is a great example of that. Ryan Kerrigan, I think, is somebody who fits really, really well with what the Tennessee Titans do and who the Tennessee Titans, or at least who Mike Vrabel wants the Tennessee Titans to be. Ryan Kerrigan very much fits that mold. Justin Houston is another player coming off his contract with Indianapolis who has caused the Tennessee Titans problems. Like, when you look at those kind of things, and this is actually something we had John Robinson, Titans GM, on the show yesterday. This was something that I asked him, is it better this year to explore these kind of options, be it an Aldon Smith, any of the other names that we've mentioned, guys who are a little longer in the tooth, who have been around the league a little longer, not the hot new thing on the block like a Bud Dupree, who, by the way, a little bit of a flash in the pan, a great defense that he's playing with, a little bit of a flash in the pan. So I don't know. There's a lot of stuff there for me with Bud Dupree. But outside of that, like we asked John yesterday, you know, is it conceivable for a team like yours? Can you build a Super Bowl? Can you maximize your Super Bowl window by taking advantage of some of these contracts, one-year deals, a little bit like Tampa Bay did, understanding that Tampa Bay has Tom Brady. But can you maximize or jettison yourself further into the position as a Super Bowl contender by letting guys like this come here for 1 year and trying to fix the pass rush for the long term later on down the road? Because you have a championship window here in Tennessee, theoretically. Now, they kind of pooped themselves in the playoffs against Baltimore, one and done after the AFC title run. But can that not be the most feasible option for an NFL team in a position like the Titans?
I think that that's really well said. And by the way, as an Aggie, I'm obligated to say that Ryan Tannehill's definitely better than Tom Brady. And so
that was a big thing here last year. He almost ended up here, RJ.
Yeah, and I think, you know, your point of people get so caught up in talking about windows, and this is something my job is literally to make everything about the Cowboys, so excuse me for doing that.
Oh, you're
fine. Something the Cowboys are in a similar situation with, in that if I'm a Titans fan and I'm always listening to 104.5 The Zone, I mean, you know, everything works out really well in that, I mean, I'm not a personal believer in Carson Wentz. So Indianapolis, your greatest threat, seemingly just kind of, you know, contaminated that, so to speak, with Wentz. The Texans are obviously their own particular mess. And the Jaguars, maybe you believe that they're going to be something, you know, of legitimacy in the future, but that's not happening here and now. The easiest path, obviously, to the NFL is winning the division, as the Titans did this past season. And so I don't want to say you can like fast forward to that point, but you can almost kind of build your team for that moment. You're trying to build your team to beat the Ravens this past season. And Justin Houston was a name that I thought of would make a lot of sense as well. And I think that the Titans have a head coach in Mike Vrabel. Obviously, he has all the football guy qualities and whatnot. And I do think that players like Justin Houston are drawn to that. And I think he is a lure that, you know, your average head coach maybe isn't. And so I think that that is an advantage. Somebody that I do think is very interesting, a former Cowboy, but currently coming off of a stint with the 49ers, Kerry Hyder. Had 8.5 sacks this past year. Doesn't have the name flash appeal that Bud Dupree does. And I know there's obviously collegiate ties to that neck of the woods as well. Obviously, again, Shaq Barrett, you have J.J. Watt, Hassan Reddick. Everybody focuses on all these names, the guys they use on their Madden franchise team or whatever. But Kerry Hyder is a very productive player with the Detroit Lions before he joined the Cowboys and kind of was overlooked in favor of other players and then went to San Francisco and really balled out. And so to your point, I think that that's, and not that John Robinson's job is in any sort of jeopardy, but I think that if I'm a GM, I'm certainly more inclined to take risks this offseason, because how can you blame me, right? Like, yeah. I was operating under the COVID cap. And so, yeah, I think that this lines up for a lot of senses of logic.
He's not in any kind of jeopardy, but you would, I mean, you know, my Twitter mentions are one thing, that the internet is a particularly poisonous place. And for Titans fans, I've lived in Nashville for 5 years. I've covered them for four. And to see just how different the conversation is around a team that was a miracle to get to 9-7, and now five straight winning seasons, a division title, an AFC championship game appearance. And so, you know, I think he's playing with a little house money. Now he's under a little bit of scrutiny, because he had arguably, I don't know that any general manager in the sport last year, and maybe with a little more NFL at large perspective, RJ Ochoa of SB Nation and Blogging with the Boys can kind of can maybe help me understand if anybody had a worse offseason than John Robinson did last year. Because between Clowney, who we have talked about at length over the course of the show today, Vic Beasley, Isaiah Wilson is somebody who is probably going to end up getting cut as a 29th overall pick just last year. It was fairly disastrous, and yet still they found their way to 11-5 in the AFC South title. So, I mean, was there a GM that had a worse year than John Robinson? Because to your point, your Texas Aggie boy, they got Ryan Tannehill under contract, they got Derrick Henry under contract, and they had an offense that scored 30.1 points per game.
I think that that's a very fascinating way of looking at it. And I think that, you know, there's obviously 32 different markets that would maybe probably hate their GM more than anybody else. And to that point, I think I'm really fascinated. We just did an episode on the SB Nation NFL show that came out today talking about free agent wide receivers. And we've talked a little bit about Corey Davis. And, you know, I think that some of these transgressions, so to speak, get forgiven because of other lines of success. Not that Corey Davis is this like bust or complete whiff, but AJ Brown's this god that, you know, kind of like, who cares?
Yeah, right?
Who cares god about Corey Davis? Because we're fine. And I think the kind of cardinal sin among general managers these days, certainly on Twitter, to your point, is paying a running back. And he did that. And like, nobody has paid a running back and gotten the immediate payoff that he did. And so, I mean, in a weird way, the hits he has are the, he's like, he's nailing his drives. You know what I mean? Where all the gallery is lined up, but where nobody is deeper into the middle of the fairway, maybe he's duffing his irons or whatever, but nobody really sees that. Cause everybody only cares about the drives and the putts.
Yeah.
And so like he's nailing those. And so that is an interesting thing, but you're right that, I mean, he's certainly not flawless. I do think he has house money, but I also think he has this kind of public sense of credibility because of those risks paying off.
I mean, largely, I think the consensus around here is that he's above average at his job, which is
right.
More than you could say about the previous regimes of Tennessee Titans player personnel management. So you brought up earlier, RJ Ochoa of SB Nation here with us on 104.5 The Zone. You brought up earlier how things may be soured in Indy by somebody who I'm sure you're infinitely familiar with, Carson Wentz, who is now the new quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. The reunion has been basically propaganda between him and Frank Reich being pumped out of Indianapolis, and people who think that that's going to be the reclamation project to get him back to 2017 MVP form. The Titans, as far as I'm concerned, RJ, given what, you know, what just an absolute, I can't say the word on the radio, but dumpster fire the AFC South is right now between Deshaun Watson and Urban Meyer and Indy, maybe with a broken quarterback, we're not sure yet. I largely think that the expectation should be that the Tennessee Titans should be able to, not easily, but be able to repeat as division champions here in the AFC South. Is there any risk of Carson Wentz being the player that upsets that?
I mean, I think that the risk is certainly tangible, right? I mean, it's an existing percentage, but I would bet heavily against that. It's, you know, like to use a golf, Carson is in the field at the Masters, right? Like, cool, he could win. Like, that is theoretically possible. But the odds are overwhelmingly against him. I don't know how big of a golf fan you are, if you're even a golf fan at all. But there was a clip. There was a clip a few years ago of Brooks Koepka, and I believe it was the U.S. Open, or it was either one, the U.S. Open or the PGA Championship. And they asked him about, you know, winning. And he said, well, you know, there's like 100 guys here that I'm just going to beat, like just kind of off the cuff. And, you know, so it's really kind of down to me and 10 guys. And I know I'm going to play well, whatever. And he kind of did the math on it, and he went out and won. And it was this really impressive thing. And I do think that that's the Titans. Like, the Titans are the Brooks Koepka in this situation where I don't want to say you just have to show up and go through the motions, but yeah, Carson Wentz presents that top 10 difficulty. Cause I think we both probably think that the Texans are either moving on from Deshaun Watson or will be a complete disaster this season.
Can't wait to watch that playoff. Right. Honestly.
Well, Urban Meyer is going to find a way to outdo it as well. And so, you know, the only real challenge is the Indianapolis Colts. And even if the Indianapolis Colts are this threat to the AFC South, we now live in a world with three wildcard positions in playoff seeding. And so there's no rhyme or reason why the Titans shouldn't hit 10 wins. And I think that this is an interesting timing. I'm not, you know, trying to be the person that doesn't believe in the Kansas City Chiefs, but, you know, we have seen them obviously, you know, be a bit flawed. Right. And so I think our stance on them is far different than it was a year ago, where it was going to require this absolute, you know, day of perfection for you to beat them. And now I don't think we think that. And so, sure, you live and operate in a world where the Buffalo Bills are going to be there. The Baltimore Ravens are going to be there. I know that's a salty subject, but I mean, I don't know how anybody has a legitimate line of long-term belief in the Ravens either. I mean, the Titans are this ultimate form of consistency. They might be the most consistent team in the AFC South. Like, maybe that peak isn't as high as others, but they are the most consistent week in and week out.
That is strong words from RJ Ochoa of SB Nation. Blogging with the boys, the SB Nation football show. Subscribe, rate, and review wherever it is that you get your podcast. They do exceptional work. RJ, you can follow him on the socials at RJ Ochoa. RJ, we appreciate you stopping by. I'm sure we'll have you on again with the next time that maybe we'll bring Kist in one of these so that we can publicly humiliate him on the radio in the city that he claims to love so dearly.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you know, he's over here talking. I think it was a spelling bee or something he won, you know, in Nashville, you know, something like that. Yeah. And so if he really holds this high level of pride over it, like he seems to indicate, I mean, he should be here to defend his turf, or at least, you know, as far as I know, I don't even know if this thing is real. So maybe somebody else can corroborate his story. But I appreciate the time and wish you a lot of success with the new show. Really excited to keep checking it out.
Thank you very much. RJ Ochoa. here with us on 104.5 The Zone. All right, we're going to put a bow on this bad boy. You guys have reacted to what RJ had to say on social media. If you have any lasting comments, because he had very strong statements about the Tennessee Titans. The picture of consistency. I'm not sure. I think that's a paraphrase, and perhaps we can I will find that for you in the podcast, and we will tweet that out later at Buck Rising, R-E-I-S-I-N-G. Lucas Panzeca, though, he's going to recap the show via the polls. We do that next. Buck Rising, 104.5 The Zone. Final segment. Man, this thing flies by so quickly. I really can't get over that. I know it's only 2 days in. Buck Rising, by the way, Lucas Panzeca here with you on 104.5 The Zone. I continue to be surprised by how smooth you all make 3 hours of live radio. I've really enjoyed it the last 2 days. I've enjoyed today's show. I thought we had a great one. You can recap the show. The whole thing's available to you via the podcast feed here on 104.5 The Zone. You could check it out. RJ Ochoa was great. So was Madison Blevins. We had a lot of talk about free agency, Delanie Walker, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and Jadeveon Clowney earlier in the afternoon in the program. But what we are going to do now in the last segment of every show that we do here moving out, I got a little excited. I got a little distracted yesterday, so I did not do the thing that I had planned on doing, but I think that Lucas Panzeca is very capable. I think that Lucas Panzeca has an exceptional voice on the radio. I think that Lucas Panzeca has done an exceptional job making sure that I don't drive this thing off the rails. And what he has done is he's going to recap the show for us, because what we have done is put out a bunch of polls. Now, a lot of them are sports today. One of them is not, I think, at least. And, you know, they may not always be sports. I'm going to try. This is a sports talk show, right? Talk sports, dummy. That's what I'm here to do. But Lucas, I think it is time to recap the polls so we can get a feel of, you know, just what today's show sounded like. What do you got? At Buck Rising, R-E-I-S-I-N-G, is where you vote on the polls.
Well, we rewind to the first hour after the report by Ian Rappaport early this week that Jadeveon Clowney will be healthy by April. Should the Titans re-sign Clowney for 2021, 593 votes, 34% of fans say yes, 66% of fans say hell no.
Hell no. So 66% of you would prefer that Jadeveon Clowney resign, as Lucas said, as opposed to re-sign. The Clowney thing is going to be a fascinating dynamic for somebody. I honestly hope I don't have to deal with it again. That's not true. It was exciting to have actual NFL news when Jadeveon Clowney, for as long as it drug out last offseason, because of what a barren wasteland sports was after COVID shut everything initially down. Thank God for the NFL draft and NFL free agency, because that was the first time that I felt normal during COVID, like after the initial happening of COVID. But I don't need the Clowney experience back of my life. 66% of you, you got a good head on your shoulders.
This one got the most interaction, maybe surprisingly. It was posted 2 hours ago, nearing 900 votes. Would you accept or decline Rashawn Evans' fifth-year option? 41% would accept. The other 59% would decline.
So this is something that I'm going to spend a lot of time on, because we didn't really get to it too much in depth on the radio show today. So I'll talk about it tonight on A to Z Sports Prime Time, 8 p.m. Central Time, is when you can live stream with me on Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, and Twitch TV at A2Z Sports is where you find that show. My last primetime show of the week, Sunday to Thursday night. So I'll spend more time on that tonight. But largely, you know, Zach Zebo from F-Words Pod, Football and Other F-Words over there at Broadway, he had put it out there because, you know, I'd honestly forgotten about Rashawn Evans and his fifth-year option. But the thing that I find curious that I'll elaborate more on the primetime show is that there's a lot of good reasons to not do it. But if you're learning from past examples, because the last two seasons, the Tennessee Titans have declined a first-round pick's fifth-year option. Now, understanding they picked up a Dorries last year, they declined Corey Davis. The year before that, they declined Jack Conklin. Worked out okay for Jack Conklin and probably Corey Davis. We'll see how that pans out.
Moving on to some college hoops, where you think Rick Barnes lands as a head coach at this stage in his career, average, above average, or below average. We're nearing 300 votes here. It was posted about an hour ago, so still have the entire next 22 hours or so. But leading the way, 61% still say above average, 30% say average, 9% are at below average. And that surprises me a little bit with the recent run of form. I would have thought the below average would have been much, much higher.
I mean, Madison Blevins, who joined us in the second hour when we were talking about it, she said, you know, above average coach as well. And, you know, Mad's a bit of a homer, grew up a Vols fan, and I can't hold that. I mean, I can't hold that against her. But listen, a lot of people voting on that are Vols fans, so that's okay. But, like, please, God, please, Tennessee, please, Rick Barnes, please, John Fulkerson, please, Eve Pons, like, please, don't foul this up against Florida on Sunday. I'm begging you. I so desperately want to talk about college basketball in Nashville, Tennessee. There is only one time of year when I can get people to care about. I'm an NFL reporter by trade. College basketball is by far and away my favorite sport, by a mile. There is only one time of year that I get to talk about college basketball. Please don't blow this, Rick Barnes. I want to believe in you.
And a reminder, the first matchup against Florida was probably the worst performance of the season for the Vols, and that's really saying something. And some of the games recently have kind of piled on top of it. You've forgotten about it a little bit, but that performance in Gainesville was about as dreadful as it's been all year.
How about that for a tease coming up on Sunday? The Gators in Knoxville at Thompson Bowling Arena.
Right what here else? On 104.5 The Zone.
Hey, look okay. at that, company
how,
man.
How long did it take Madison Blevins to make fun of Buck's weight in this segment? She joined us, of course, the second segment of Hour 2. Less than 5 minutes, 92%. More than 5 minutes, 8%. And the 92% were correct.
Yeah, she didn't even make it on air.
It wasn't even 30 seconds.
I just... like, you guys are going to... I hope that you guys, like... As an audience, I hope that you guys enjoy the dynamic that I have with that we, you know, Lucas and myself, because Lucas is obviously going to be a big part of the show moving forward. You know, I hope that you guys enjoy the dynamic that I have with a lot of my friends in sports. I give Mads a lot of hell. I give Will Compton a lot of hell. I give, you know, RJ, who's just how we happen to have a mutual friend in common. I give, you know, we want you to feel like you're a part of the conversations between me and my friends in sports, right? And you can be. By the way, anytime you chime in on social media and on Twitter, on the phones. But for Mads, I mean, just continually to attack my self-esteem, which has been good for me, by the way. I've lost a considerable amount of weight since 4 years ago when Mads started fat-shaming me publicly.
That doesn't sound healthy.
It's really not.
Okay, this one a half hour ago has gotten quite a bit of interaction. 600 votes now. Would you take Delanie Walker back on the Titans? We talked about the lack of a logical argument for bringing back Delanie Walker. Played in 7 games 2 seasons ago. Didn't take a snap last year. 36 years old. 60% say yes, they would bring Delanie Walker back. 40% say no.
Why do you guys do this to me? Why? Why? It just doesn't make any damn sense. Let go of the players whose names you recognize. I understand that you probably have a Delanie Walker jersey in your closet at home. I understand that he's probably one of the, or if not the, greatest sources of happiness for the Tennessee Titans prior to Derrick Henry really breaking out and you having an actual offense that doesn't make me want to punch myself in the face when I watch it. I understand that you have these feelings, but he's 36 years old. What are we doing here? You cannot live this way. Because you're making me live this way, where I have to field these Delanie Walker questions on the radio and on Twitter. At Buck Rising, R-E-I-S-I-N-G is where you vote on the polls. Lucas Panzeca has crushed it today. You as an audience have been great. You know who's going to be great coming up next? It's Blaine and Mickey. I'm Buck Rising. We'll see you tomorrow on 104.5 The Zone.